Bibles in the book of Joshua in the 21st chapter, Joshua chapter 21. And tonight we're going to be down in verses 43 through 45. We've come last time looking at Joshua's chapter 20 and 21 together as we looked at the final allotments of the land as it was split up there among the people of Israel. And we come to the end of chapter 21 and verses 43 through 45. If you'd follow me there as I read where it is written, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." And I want to speak to you tonight about all coming to pass, all right? All shall come to pass. All is coming to pass according to his word. Let's go to him in prayer and ask his blessing on tonight. Father, we thank you again for just the wonderful privilege and opportunity of being in a local New Testament church, for the freedom and privilege that we have to gather together tonight. Lord, for the availability that we have in cars and transportation, a building that you've allowed us to be in, Lord, for how you have blessed us here, allowing us to have a building and allowing us to pay the bills of the building. And God, we just thank you for a warm and secure place tonight that is well lit, where we can gather around your word and sing your praises and share prayer requests and testimonies. Lord, it is a most blessed place to be tonight, and we thank you for your blood that was shed to purchase the right of having a New Testament church. And tonight, as we come to the end of chapter 21 of Joshua's book, we ask for a special blessing and understanding of these verses, that, Lord, our hearts may be stirred afresh and anew for a God who is faithful and true, for a God who keeps all his promises. If we will just live by faith, all will come to pass. And so, Lord, bless us this evening. Touch our hearts, encourage us, Lord, where we need to be encouraged. Father, convict us, Lord, where we need to be convicted. But Lord, just wrap your loving arms around us tonight and let us sense and know your presence, we pray. Give us understanding, we ask now in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. As we look here in Joshua chapter 21 and verses 43 through 45, some refer to these verses as the, and even this passage, these three verses, as the key passage of the book of Joshua, kind of, I guess, surmising the whole book, summarizing the whole book in these three verses. But these verses are wonderful verses, and as you've gone through the journey that we have taken through the first chapter, here through the 21st chapter, and if we would follow along the timeline and we would see there of God's faithfulness, and then we come to this passage, you can kind of sense the, really just the doxology of Joshua as he records this, of, as it's being written down, of God and God's faithfulness and God's provision and all coming to pass as God has promised it would be. It is exactly as he said it would be. And tonight, just in a short period of time, a couple of thoughts I want to share with you. And the first thought this evening is this, that God is faithful to his promises. God will always keep his promises. God is not a liar, as men are liars. If God has said it, shall he not do it? Will God not do exactly what God said that he will do? He will. And we need not doubt God. We only need to trust God. But try for a moment to put yourself in the shoes of Joshua. Remember before they had crossed over the River Jordan? Do you remember in Joshua chapter 1 when God himself, the Lord, was encouraging Joshua that he could trust him to be of courage, to be of good strength and good courage, and to trust God and the promises of God, that God had promised it, would God not do it, that God's presence would be with him just like it was with Moses, and that there was nothing to fear. And can you imagine as the land is finally allotted out here and the land now in possession of Israel, as these words are recorded, that the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. Boy, what a wonderful truth and what a wonderful praise here of God, that he was faithful to do what he said he would do. Go back there with me in Joshua chapter 1. And just remember here with me as we go back and note here in Joshua 1. Look with me in verses 2 and 3. Where again, in verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So God here just reaffirming and reassuring Joshua of the promise. Go down to verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage, for under this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Go down to verse number 11. Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. And then again down in verse number 15, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it with Moses the Lord's servant, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan towards the sun rising. So we see here again the reiteration of in chapter 1 of God's promise. And in the promise that was made to their forefathers, even going back to Abraham, the promise of the land. And here we see where finally that promise is realized, and the people of God are taking hold of this promise, receiving the promise from a God who cannot lie, a God whose words are always true, a God whom we can trust. My friends, we can trust in the promises of God. Every promise of God we can believe in, we can trust. They are sure. You know, you see things with your eyes. I'm going to say something tonight. More sure than what you see with your eyes is the Word of God. Because my eyes have fooled me. Have they not fooled you? But God's Word is sure. It is true. And we can believe and trust in His promises. Now, if we were really actively believing in the promises of God, and tonight we see this, and you can't imagine, and I can't imagine what it would have been like to have been Joshua. I mean, can you imagine? Here he is following one of the greatest leaders in the history, really, of man, but especially one of the greatest leaders of God, Moses. And here is Joshua going to follow up Moses. And God says, now, Joshua, Moses is dead, but now you're the man. And I want you to lead them into this land of promise. Just like the promise I've made to your forefathers, the promise that I gave unto Moses, this promise I'm giving unto you, you're going to cross over, you're going to possess the land, I am going to be with you. I'm going to deliver them into your hands. You just need go across, be of good courage, right? Be of faith, be strong, be bold in the Lord. I have handed this over to you, it is yours. Now, we look back at it now and we say, well, there wasn't a whole lot there for Joshua to think about. What do you think it was like for Joshua? I mean, after 40 years being in the wilderness, not because of his own lack of faith, but because of others' lack of faith, and seeing all the death that took place in the wilderness and all, do you think that maybe there was a doubt that maybe God had forgotten? That would God really, truly do this thing? That could God really, truly do this thing? Could God deliver all the different ites that they were going to face when they crossed over to the other side? I mean, there was Jericho. I mean, there was definitely some obstacles there that were going to be very difficult. But God had promised it to him. And all he needed to do was to trust in those promises. God has made us some very special promises from his word. And what I would like just for a brief moment just to think about is, and as I'm sharing here, that we can trust his promises, is that do we really believe that those promises are true? For example, with prayer, Brother Vernon, I think, mentioned it this morning as one of the gifts of God from his Christ tree, Christ on the cross. One of the gifts that we received in our salvation was the privilege of coming to the throne of grace and there receiving mercy from God, Hebrews chapter 4, help in time of need. I mean, do we understand the great and wonderful privilege that we have as a people of God to come directly without anybody to intercede other than the Lord Jesus Christ? He is our intercessor. He is the mediator that we go through, but not going through any kind of man. But we ourselves can enter by the blood of Jesus Christ directly into the very holies of holies, the very presence of God, and pray. And know that God is receiving our prayers. Know that God is hearing our prayers. Why? Because we're coming in the name of Jesus. And Jesus has said, whatever things you ask in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father, He's going to do it. I mean, we've got all these pledges of security that prayer, God is going to answer prayer. But if we really believed by faith and we really trusted that prayer really worked, wouldn't we be praying a lot more? If we really believe that prayer made a difference, what do you think? Would the church pray more? I would argue this evening that the reason we don't pray as a church like we should and that we don't pray as a people like we should is because we are really not sure that God really answers prayer. What is the greatest weakness of the church today in America? What's the greatest weakness of Faith Baptist Church? I would submit to you it is prayerlessness. That's the greatest weakness. That we just don't pray like we ought to pray. Because we're not sure that God really answers and hears those prayers. I'm telling you that it is a sure thing. And one day when you're going, you and I, when we get to heaven, and we're going to look back and we're going to see prayers that God answered that we didn't know how He answered them, and we maybe in this lifetime didn't even know how He answered them, but when we get there, we're going to see how He answered them, and we're going to say, why didn't I pray more? Why didn't I really believe that promise? And why didn't I spend more time in prayer to God for these specific things and needs? Why didn't I pray more for revival? Why didn't I pray more for awakening? Why didn't I pray more for these lost workers or these lost neighbors or these lost family members? Why wasn't I faithful to lift them before the throne of grace? I'm telling you, God answers prayer. And all we need do is to trust and continue coming to Him in prayer. Do we really believe, another example here, in the promise of God and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. Do we really believe what Isaiah said about the Word of God, that His Word will not return empty or void, that when we share His Word, it is going to perform His purpose? Do we believe when we're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ that God can take that gospel, that message that we shared, and by the power of His Spirit, anoint that and bless that and bring souls to Himself? Do we believe that even when we are being rejected at that door or when we are being rejected in our workplace or in our neighborhood, when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though it is being rejected right then, do we believe that the seed could still be yet planted? And that God, the Holy Spirit, can water that seed and still years later bring somebody to faith in Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. And there are testimonies of people who did not get saved the first time they heard the gospel. It took them years before they came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. But they can't come to that saving faith in Jesus Christ if we, the church, are not out there spreading the seed of God's Word. It has to be spread. It has to be shared. And God has chosen the human instrument to share His Word. How can they hear without a what? Romans 10. Without a preacher, without a proclaimer, without someone to share. God has chosen us to do this. Do we believe that when we are sharing that message of Christ, that God can bless that and empower that and use that to bring somebody to a new living relationship with God through Christ? I think if we really truly believe that that was true, and if we really believed in the power of the gospel, I think we'd share it a lot more. What about you? Do we believe that promise of God? What about in our tithes and in our giving? Do we believe from Malachi in chapter 3 where the promise of God is, prove me, put me to the test. Give unto me your tithes and your offerings. Give unto me from the first of your increase. And you see if I don't open the windows of heaven and shower a blessing on you that's greater than you can receive. Do we really believe that God really hears that God will really honor that promise that He's made? Now we have some, and I know in our church we have some good people. I mean, I don't know. I don't look at the records. Brother Bob just tells me that God is blessing and the giving in our church has been strong. And I praise God for that. To me, that just means that we have some people who know that God is true in this area and that God is honoring His Word in this area. But I remember when I wrestled with it, when Julie and I were first married, this principle or this truth of tithing from your first, are you kidding me? I mean, we've got all kinds of bills to pay. And then let's just wait till we get to the end of the month, and then we'll give unto God. You know, once we have some money left over, and what did I find every month? We had no money left over. I mean, the woman went out and she spent all the money. I'm teasing. But when we began and when we purposed, okay, this is going to have to be a faith thing, an obedience thing, and we're going to trust God, and we're going to have to give to Him from the first and then just trust God with the rest of the month, God always blessed and God always provided. And as you can see, I haven't missed too many meals, right? Amen. God is faithful. God will honor His word. I got some other things that I just noted in here as I jotted down. Do we really believe that serving others will make us happy, will bring happiness? I mean, do you remember in John chapter 13 where Christ takes and He washes the disciples' feet and He gives this example unto them and He says, happy are you if you do these things. If you want to know true happiness, if you want to know what true joy is, how is true happiness and joy going to come? Well, by serving others. Do we believe that? I mean, I know that it's true. And I know in my life there's no time that I'm ever more happy or more content than when there is service going on to others. God blesses that. Do we really believe in Romans 12? Do we really believe that good will overcome evil? I mean, do we really believe that? I mean, we live in a wicked society. I've got boys that are right up here in the public school. And you know, you're talking over issues with them and you're talking about things. And it's like, you know, this is difficult. How can this evil be overcome? And the temptation of the flesh is what? To work this out in an intellectual way with the mind. Because that's how the world works. You got to treat the world with the flesh. You got to understand the world as the world is. And you just got to, if you don't treat them as they treat you, if you're not strong and bold in front of them, then they're just going to take advantage of you. They're just going to run right over you. Whereas God's word says what? Evil's never going to overcome evil. Only good is going to overcome evil. That's a promise from God. Now, do we believe that promise? When God tells us to pray for our enemies, to love them, and to pray for them, do we really believe that promise that good can overcome evil? I'm here sharing with you tonight that good will overcome evil. If we will just trust the Lord and practice His principles and believe in His promise, good will overcome evil. So these are just some thoughts of some promises of God. My friends, we can trust in the promises of God. Let me give you a second thought tonight about the promises of God. We can be encouraged. We can hope in the promises of God. Is it not the promises of God that cause us to hope, that cause us to be encouraged? Do the promises of God, as we learn these promises, as we go through His Word, do they not stir our hearts? Go over here with me to Hebrews chapter 6, and we see the principle laid out. Now, this is speaking about salvation, but Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to come be in Hebrews a couple of times this evening, and we're going to go back to our passage, but Hebrews chapter 6. So we have seen that God is faithful to His promises. We can trust His promises. We can hope in His promises. We can be encouraged in His promises. Hebrews 6, go down with me to verse number 17. He says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. So we're seeing here the unchangingness of His counsel, the faithfulness of His counsel, the eternality, if you will, of His counsel, that by two immutable things, things that do not change, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, a strong hope, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that and within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have one that has already entered in before us. He's already gone on before us, and it's an anchor. They say that of boats in those days, there were different types of anchors. Now, you and I think of an anchor. We think of an anchor, they just drop off the boat, and it goes straight down into the water. But back then, they had harbors. And they would bring these boats into these smaller harbors, and they had, I believe, what was called a kedge anchor. And that anchor they would take, and it would go off, it would precede the boat, and it would pull the boat slowly into the harbor. So here we have what the Word of God is sharing. We have an anchor. We have a sure hold.
We have this refuge that we can lay hold on, this hope that is set before us, this anchor that is set before us, because Christ has risen from the grave, because Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, because Christ is there right now interceding for us, we can know that one day we are going to be with Him. Isn't that wonderful hope? So the promises of God, they are things that encourage us. They are things that give us hope, and we can hope in those promises. I want to encourage you, as you go through the Word of God, as you read it, that maybe you take a pen, and maybe this year when you read through your Bible, you do it in a different way, but every time you find a promise of God, put a P by that promise and circle the P. There's a promise of God. And maybe there want to be some promises that God will make to you. And put your hope, be encouraged by those promises. Why? Because God is going to keep those promises. You can trust in Him. But let me give you a third thought this evening. We have to wait on the promises of God. That's the hard part, isn't it? I don't mind. I believe you can trust Him. And I believe we can hope and be encouraged by those promises. And that hope helps to encourage our faith. But listen, the waiting part, I'm not sure about that. You mean we have to wait for God to answer sometimes, to fulfill His promises? Oh, yeah. We have to wait for God to answer His promises. You know, someone has written, one author writes, time has its own way of withering faith in God's promises. Right? We're waiting for God. And as we wait for God, does Satan not begin to put little seeds of doubt into our minds? Is God true? Is God really going to keep this promise? Do you really think that God knows your situation? Do you really think that God is going to answer this prayer or keep this promise? Listen, God wants us to obtain these promises by faith as we wait upon Him. They were promises that God made. We go back. God kept all His promises that He made to Joshua. But there was a group that preceded the generation. In fact, it was Joshua's generation. That God had made them promises, but what happened? They rejected the promises of God. You see, the promises that God had placed out there before Joshua, they were given by God, but Joshua still had to obtain them by faith. They still had to be sought after by faith. Go over here with me. You're in Hebrews. Go right over there in Hebrews chapter 11 and go down to verse 33. And it says as much. Hebrews 11, verse 33. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of aliens. Look there in verse 33 again. It was by faith that they did what? Obtained the promises. We're going to have to obtain the promises. We have to wait upon God. We have to trust the Lord and wait for God to fulfill those promises that God has given. And sometimes that takes time. But God is working and God is perfecting within you that which God wants you to be. He is strengthening your faith. He is strengthening your resilience to trust in Him in all ways. I mean, have you not had something that you've prayed for a while, and even something that was impossible, and then finally, in just the right time, when it's the time that God has ordained for it to be, which is the perfect time, God answers that prayer. And does that not encourage your heart and make you want to shout out with joy and build your faith to say, listen, my God has delivered again, right? He's done it. He does hear. He does answer prayer. He is a God that can do the impossible. But sometimes He wants us to wait and to obtain the promises by faith. And sometimes those promises are obtained through faith, through prayer. We've shared before about, my mind went blank. The guy in England who ran the orphanage, who prayed all those years. George Mueller prayed all those years. I got his autobiography I still got to read it. But he prayed all those years for his friends to be saved. Remember that? One was like 10 years, one was 30 or 40 years, and the last one was over 50 years, I believe, he prayed for a friend to be saved. And that friend didn't come to Christ till after his death. There was a promise there. He just kept hitting the throne of grace, praying, believing that God would answer that prayer. And finally, in God's time, God answered that prayer. But he had to obtain that promise. He had to just keep coming before God and saying, God, I'm not going to give you any rest. I'm not letting this go. I'm going to carry it all the way through by faith in prayer until you answer. They have to be obtained. We're right there. Let's stay in Hebrews. Let's go back a couple of chapters to chapter 6. All right, Hebrews chapter 6. And go down with me in verse number 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Don't be lazy, right? Don't be slothful. Don't be one of those that, you know, it's not coming right away, so you're not willing to really see it all the way through to its end and really obtain the promise by faith. Don't be one of those Christians, but be a Christian who through faith and patience inherits the promises, waiting upon God. Verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, it doesn't mean that Abraham's faith was perfect, does it? It doesn't mean that Abraham didn't have times of doubt, did it? Did Abraham have times of doubt where he doubted God? Absolutely. What's Ishmael all about? Where did he come from? He came in a time when Abraham doubted God and doubted the promises of God. But overall and in general, we could say that Abraham continued by faith, looking after God, believing that God was going to answer, and God did. Even though it was impossible, even though Sarah was past having a child, physically impossible, yet God did what God said he would do. And the promise of God, though God had made the promise, he had obtained the promise by faith. Do you see how it works? And so what I'm saying tonight are there are many promises that God has made to you and I, and we're not obtaining those promises. Why? Because we're not really believing God that it will be as God has said it will be. We're not really trusting that God would do that. Hey, if we really believe that God is saying, look, call after me and seek me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. Do we really believe that? I mean, if we really believed, again, I'm going back to prayer, if we really believed that God would answer that and that God would bring renewal to his people, revival to his people, that God would bring awakening to our area. Listen, our area needs awakening. Our families, they need Jesus Christ. These homes are a wreck out here. You just go out here and you see the home style and the life and the way these kids are growing up in their homes. My friends, it's just a travesty. There is train wreck after train wreck after train wreck. And what do these families need? I'll tell you exactly what they need. They need Christ. And Jesus Christ, if he was Lord and sovereign of those homes and of those hearts, all that mess would be cleaned up. And there would be families that would be glorifying and honoring God. And there would be a young people being raised up for the glory of God. Well, going back now to the promises of God. God has laid before us some promises, promises that he will keep. Are we obtaining those promises by faith? Are we believing that God will do all that he said he will do? Do you see, we have a responsibility, don't we? I just wonder one day when I get to heaven and I come before God and I see, and I forget if it's John or Rice or who, I've heard somebody describe it this way, but you get up there to glory. And there are the rewards that day at the judgment seat of Christ when the gold, silver, precious stone, and hopefully when your life has passed through that fire, there'll be some gold, silver, and precious stone. The wood, hay, and stubble is burned and removed. But be some eternal value, eternal rewards that we can take and lay back at the feet of Jesus. And there'll be a warehouse, a storehouse over here of all of God's blessings and much more reward and wealth that God wanted to bestow upon us and would have bestowed upon us, but we would not obtain the promises of God. We would not trust him that it is, even as he has said it is. We would not really believe that good will overcome evil. We do not really trust that despite any circumstance or situation that we face, that God is able, that he can, if we'll just put him first and seek him. Go over here to Hebrews. Stay in Hebrews and turn over with me a couple more chapters. You were in chapter 6 there. Let's go over to chapter 10 and go down with me to verse number 30. Let's go down to verse 32. Let's start right there. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great flight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. But we are not of him that draw back unto perdition, or unto destruction, or unto ruin, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He is saying here again, the promise of God, though you are going through afflictions, and though you are going through trials, and though you are going through difficulties, though even I am in prison right now, I believe Paul is writing here, though even I am in the affliction that I am in, you did not run away. Stay faithful and stay true. Why? Because he's coming back again. He's coming. Just stay true to what you've been called to do. My friends, do we believe that Jesus Christ is coming? Do we believe that promise of God? Man, if we really believed it, if we knew with 100% certainty that Christ was coming back and even coming back next Sunday night, how would we live the next week between now and next Sunday night? How would our life change? If we really believed that he was coming back, how would that change our lives this week? Boy, it'd give us a sharper focus, wouldn't it, for him? I guarantee you, there'd be some people we'd be praying for. There'd be some people we'd be sharing with. There'd be some people that we would be making things right with before we meet Christ. There'd be some relationships and some people we'd want to go back and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I was wrong in what I did. And I just want to have peace with you. And I've asked God to forgive me, and now I'm asking you to forgive me. Folks, he is coming. I don't know when he's coming, but he is coming. And there are promises here that he has given to us. And what is our work? To trust in those promises. To hope in those promises. To patiently wait for God to fulfill those promises as we are obtaining the promises of God by faith. Waiting for him. Listen, no one said the Christian life was going to be easy. Who said it was going to be easy? It's not going to be easy in this life. I'm just telling you right up front. Now, it's a wonderful thing to walk with the Lord and know the Lord. But if you want an easier life, the easier life is not to become a Christian, because when you become a Christian, it is saying no to self over and over and over again, and that's the hardest thing that somebody has to do. Say no to self. Why do you think so few really follow Christ? Because they don't want to take up the cross. They don't want to put their will to death. They don't want to put their desires to death. They don't want to put self to death and follow him. But my friends, that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's going to be hard and it's going to be difficult. But he will fulfill his promises. We can trust in them. All shall come to pass. Now turn back there and we're going to finish. All right, Joshua chapter 21. And we want to go back and just finish up because there's another thought here I want to share with you. And then we'll be done. All right? Joshua chapter 21. We saw in verse number 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all he had sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their land. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. God did exactly what God said he would do. We have our responsibility to do what God has called us to do, and God will do what God said he will do. But look in that middle verse, verse 44, that last part. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Every trial that they faced, every enemy that they faced, if they would obey God and they would trust God, would be a defeated foe. they were delivered into their hands. If they were not delivered in their hands, like Jericho, or like other battles we will find, if they were not delivered into their hands, why were they not delivered into their hands? Because they didn't want to follow God by faith. And they didn't want to submit themselves to the plan of God. That's why they were defeated. I'm just telling you tonight, if you will submit yourself to the Word of God and to the truth of God's Word, and you will trust in the promises of God, there is no enemies that you face, there are no mountains that you face, there are no afflictions or trials that you face, that you will not be victorious in for the glory of God, because God has delivered them into your hands. They're already defeated. That is the promise of God to you tonight, Christian. They're already defeated. There is no sin that can have dominion or control over you. There is no part of your flesh that can control you. There is no sin or area of your flesh that will have dominion over you. You don't have to live in continued sin, habitual sin, for the rest of your existence here. You can have rest right now. Rest is what came to the land. Now, it doesn't mean that there still weren't more battles to fight. It doesn't mean, in fact, if you would go on through Joshua and you'll go into Judges, that there's still not a lot more trials to come. But I'm just sharing with you this. Every trial that Israel faced, every enemy that came before them was a defeated enemy if they would only trust in God. If they would only follow what He said to do and by patience wait upon His promise, God would deliver them into their hands. They were already defeated. Do you believe that tonight? Folks, this is written here, Joshua, to Israel, but there is a truth there, a principle that we can carry forward to us this evening. There's nothing that stands before us that we can't be victorious over for the glory of Christ. You say, well, what about the Apostle Paul? What about Paul and going to prison? And there in 2 Timothy, we read of the end of his life, and we know from church history how his head would be chopped off. He wasn't victorious. Oh, my friend, you don't understand God nor His Word. He was a victor in Christ. And he accomplished exactly what God accomplished him to do. He was victorious in that he went all the way through, followed Christ all the way to the end. He would have lost out had he doubted God and been in Demas and forsaken God and went back to the world. A lot of Demases, right? They were with Paul there for a while things are going well. I'm with Paul. I'm all for this thing. But when things started getting difficult and hard, he forsook Paul. Things are getting a little bit too hot in the kitchen there for me. Going back over here to the world. Demas lost the victory. There was a conflict, an enemy that confronted him, and he lost the victory. God wanted him to give him the victory. I just want to tell you, it is a wonderful thing to know that no matter what I'm going to face tomorrow, and Greg Smith, no matter what you're facing physically, or Mac, no matter what you're facing physically, that if you will be faithful to God all the way through, there'll be victory. You'll be victorious for Christ. There is no enemies that you face that you cannot conquer. I tell you, I played basketball. And I played against some pretty good competition. Boy, as a basketball player, wouldn't that be wonderful to know, listen, anybody you face, you can have victory over them. I don't care if you have Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on that team. Whoever it is that you face, you're going to have victory over them if you just stay faithful and true to me. Boy, as a basketball player, that'd be a wonderful promise, right? But what about here and now in the reality of the Christian life and walk? They're already conquered, my friends. God has promised us the power to succeed for Him and for His glory. All we need to do is stay faithful to His Word and obtain those promises and obey Him, and we will be victorious for the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The question is not, will God? The question is, will we be faithful? Will we obey? Will we stay true? Let's go to Him in prayer.